In our hearts we know there's a table where the faithful ones will dine. I know you hear me, know that you see me, I offer this heart of mine. Tremble and be still, come search my heart. Peacefully we hope until the day of your return.
You aren't from Answer, are you, Sarin? You're from the other side of the gap? In a safe zone?
That's right. I'm a Meruan, technically.
This side of the gap is a meadow too, you know. The Answer Enclave is still a meadow. Is that funny?
Sorry. No. You are right. Kerr, Sahar, the Nunus Gap, it's all a meadow. I think it's written down somewhere, so it must be true.
I don't get the joke.
It's nothing. Yes, Answer is a meadow. You are a Meruan. I just think that what that means to you and what that means to the idiots in the safe zone is something very different. And you know, it's just funny to hear someone like yourself identify as one of them. I guess Amedu has gone and gotten itself progressive these days. They don't kill spawn in the street anymore. But I wouldn't say... what do I know? You're a handsome guy. I'm sure they'd let you work in the brothels.
I'm not an idiot, Sarin. I can be a Meduin without their permission. Here, at least. You don't like a Meduin, then? I mean, the ones in the safe zone.
I don't have anything against the Meduins in particular. Everyone in the safe zone is the same. Bunch of clueless drippers and plungers.
Clueless about what?
You were born here? Grew up here?
Yeah.
Helga, you too, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is the single biggest threat to the people of Latari?
The wilds, right? It's obvious.
Helga?
It's the Wildland, obviously. If the Vanguard don't keep it at bay, if the people of Kur and the Answer Enclave don't hold it here, the whole world could be swallowed by the Blight.
So the whole world is on the line? The fight here is the most important thing?
Of course. It's the only thing.
Really? Last time I was in the capital, the people were refusing to work. They downed tools and walked out of the stills and workshops, went out into the streets and chanted about how tough they've got it. Some self-entitled rabble-rouser convinced them all that their rights were more important than the fight. The Vanguard and the people of Ansa do the bleeding, so those soft and weak city parasites can worry about their coin and comfort. You think they really care about the wildland? they pump out the alchemics and pay for nomarchs like me to come out as replacements and hold the line. They send their scum and their criminals, so they don't have to spend another minute thinking about it.
That's very cynical, Saren.
Did you know that some twat in the north leveled 2 cities over there just so he could have a new title and some pretty jewels? I'm not being cynical, Tal. On that side of the gap, everything is backward. The rich and powerful exploit the poor and keep them weak, too weak to be any use to anyone but themselves. They couldn't care less what goes on in here, so long as it stays here.
That's absurd. Anyone who knows what's at stake will be doing everything they can.
The stakes? When the ship is sinking, the cunning officers often convince the crew she can be saved. Keeps them working below decks so the officers can steal away on the life raft. Only they don't want to row it themselves, so they keep a couple of the more spineless ratings with them to keep things cozy. Only here there are no life rafts, so the officers settle for final moments of peace and quiet in comfort. I don't blame them, honestly. I don't like it, but I don't blame them. If we all faced the truth, if we were even capable of it, I think most would choose the same. We are cowards at heart, mostly. I was dropped on my head as a child. I loved the fight, so I prefer it here. But I am no more motivated for the sake of all nations. I'm not here for the love of Latari. I am here because naive and good people like you make it easier for people like me to forget the truth. We're up against it every day here. Unlike the drippers in the zone, we don't have time to think about it. We are so close to the truth we can't even see it most of the time. I prefer the blissful nature of ignorance in a place like this. It's more tolerable. We all have to figure out what sort of fiction we can stomach in the end.
So why the hell did you volunteer to come with us?
I can't save the world, Del. But maybe I can find some missing kids. Excuse me. I'm poor company when I'm hungry. I'll scran on watch. Get your heads down and get some rest. Aelin, you're with me on the first watch.
They were so far away from the path now. How had Robin wandered this far in the dark alone? How had he found his way back to the hide? The trees were becoming thicker and beginning to block out the last rays of sunlight. The warped strangler figs twisted amongst the withered and rotting ring pine, interlaced like labyrinthine parasitic arteries, bleeding the life from the natural fauna, without ever permitting it the release of death. The two of them had been weaving between the macabre exhibitions for hours, forced at times to crawl on hands and knees to navigate through the growth. As they got deeper into the thick jungle and further from the path, the more vital, yet less recognizable, the stranglers became. More alive than any tree had claimed to be. They may have been travelling for hours now, but Yav doubted that they had moved more than half a li in the last hour. As Robin disappeared from view behind a walking palm, Yav paused, momentarily disoriented, and whispered into the darkness.
Robin!
She received no reply. Yav raised her voice to call after her companion.
Robin! Robin! Slow down!
And as she spoke the words, she suddenly felt the air around her thicken and pulse rapidly, with a deep tone which made her teeth rattle in her head. She fell to her knees, further disoriented by the sudden change in sound and pressure around her. What was happening? Where was she? She attempted to rise from the duff, but found her arms shaky, her legs resolutely ignoring her instructions to stand.
Mommy! Mommy, help me! Mommy, where are you?
She called into the darkness. The darkness which around her began to swim with colours and seemed to pulse in harmony with her breath and her heart, quickening as both her excitement and panic began to rise. Another pulse of thick, warm air compressed around her head, rattling her teeth and stealing her consciousness for but a moment. Her senses returned just in time for Yav to feel her body hit the soft detritus. The jungle floor seemed to give way to her weight like a gigantic soft pillow, allowing her to sink softly into it. Was this a dream? Yes. Now she remembered. She was sick. Very sick. Everyone had gotten sick. She called again. Her arms and legs no longer responded to her commands, lifting her dread and exhilaration to fever pitch and sending the swimming lights into majestic mania, in a surreal chorus with her, filling her vision with nothing but their magnificent ballet. No, that wasn't right. She had gotten better. The children had all gotten better. Her mother wasn't coming. The world was silent now, except for the pulsing of her heart and the cadence of her breath. Robin. Robin was here. He could help her. She called out to him.
She called out again.
She called out again. Had she called out? She could not recall. Was it her voice she had heard? She was not sure. She began to sink deeper into the litter, the soft, welcoming humus warming her flesh as she descended, the under canopy of the wild jungle distorting in her vision, stretching away from her until it was as if viewed through the wrong end of a spyglass. Her heart and breath were joined now by a familiar sound, a gentle, comforting, sweet melody. It was peculiar. She had barely noticed its absence before its return. But now the mere thought of its lack filled Yav with trepidation. It was such a beautiful sound. She closed her eyes and lost herself in the melody. There were words to it. She was sure. Not words you could speak with your lips or tongue, but which would come from your soul. She listened harder. She willed all of her to reach those words. She was back at the hide. Yav had awoken alone. She once again found herself in a twilight stupor, once again unsure of where she was. She searched frantically for Robin, but he was nowhere to be found. Yav's sense of panic and alarm began to grow as she noticed that Robin's bed had been scattered. It was dark and cold. Where could he be? There was a smell on the air, something different. Yav sniffed at the air. There were voices too. She feared the worst. Had they been found? She whimpered. They didn't have her yet. She could still save Robin. Yav crawled on her belly carefully over the lip of a small ditch to their hide, peering over the fallen tree. there was a light in the distance. It was dim, but it illuminated the jungle, casting flickering shadows. It was smoke. Wood smoke she could smell, and something else. Something delicious. She scaled the fallen tree and began moving toward the dim light in the distance, moving surreptitiously down the path towards the voices. It must be a campfire. This was a camp. Crack. She heard the sound of wood breaking just off to her left. Yav dropped to the ground quickly and began to roll away off the path into a thick shrub.
Yav!
Came a whispered voice from beside her, causing her to cover her mouth and stifle a gasp. It was Robin. Yav threw her arms around her friend tightly and pulled him into a vice-like embrace. After a moment, she released him.
You got lost. They didn't know you. Be careful. Everything is good if you stay with me.
She squeezed him again so tightly that the young boy could barely breathe.
I was so worried, Robbie. I thought they had taken you.
She responded, her fear and concern thick in her tone. He whispered.
Don't tell them we're
here. Yav parted the shrubbery which obscured their view, hoping to get a clearer view of the encampment before skirting back down to Robin.
Who are they? Is it the bad people? They have food. Maybe we could...
Yav began, but she was cut off.
I don't want to go back. I only want to play with you in the wilds. We can play together here. No one will find us.
Robin interrupted, his face twisted into frustration and anger.
Are they from home, Robbie? Maybe we should.
Yav was cut off again.
The wilds won't hurt us. They are...
Yav would not let Robin finish. The rich aroma in the air had awoken a hunger in her which had crippled her patience for a young friend.
Of course they'll hurt us, Robbie. We need to get away from here. We need food and shelter.
She snapped at him.
Stay here. I'll check it out.
Yav used a forceful tone and indicated sharply towards the ground. Before Robin could respond, Yav quickly began skirting round towards the voices and the campfire, as silently as she could. She could hear two people talking loudly and animatedly. One of them was upset about something. They were certainly distracted. Maybe she could sneak a peek at who they were. Even if they were the bad grown-ups. Maybe...
Are you hungry, Yav?
The voice made her start again. How in the hell has Robbie gotten ahead of her?
The jungle gives food.
I found bellies again.
Robin continued. Yav brought her finger up forcefully to her mouth, gesturing furiously for Robbie to be quiet.
Shh.
Panic streaked across her features. She pointed violently, repeatedly toward the camp on the path, mouthing the words,
"They will find us,"
to the young boy, with exaggerated mouth movements.